And I know, hey, today's Mother's Day is sometimes a difficult time for some people. I want to recognize that in the room today, there's two kinds of people. There's moms and there's people who aren't moms. And so wherever you're at, we're glad you're here. And I'm going to talk a little bit towards the moms today, but I think you'll find something in here for all of us today as we take a look at God's Word. But to begin, I want to tell you what happened yesterday. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm working on a project at home, and Ann, my wife, says, "I'm going to the store." And so off she goes, and about 2 minutes later, it strikes me, I should go to the store too. Tomorrow's Mother's Day, right? So I head for Sprouts. I figure that is not where my wife is headed. I'm going to Sprouts because they have the good cards there. And get a Mother's Day card. And if you've been to Sprouts over here, you know, you go in the front door, the cards are all the way over here on this side in the front. So I head over there, and what do I see but my wife? She's at the very last check stand, right? She's as close to the greeting cards as you can possibly be in that store. And she says, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Looking for a Mother's Day card." And she's like, "Oh, okay. You find one you like?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." And she's like, "Well, bring it over here and read it to me." And so I do, and she says, "Good, now put it back. Save your $5." Right? She's awesome. Well, of all, you can tell I'm good at Mother's Day stuff, right? Of all the gifts that I've bought for Anne to honor her for being the mother of our kids over the years, none of them really remain, except one. All the others can't really remember. I bet Anne probably can't fully even remember, but there's one gift that has endured and remains in use, and here it is. It is the chair. Yeah, the chair. Now, this chair has been with us so long, Ann and I can't even fully decide and determine when we first got it. Okay, but I do know it's moved with us from state to state and from house to house. And it's gone through seasons where it had nice cushions and things on it. It's gone through seasons where it was surrounded by other furniture. You know, if you look at it now closely, you can see it's a little worn down. It's seen better days. But it still gets used. It doesn't get used often or all the time, but it gets used in those moments when Anne needs a little bit of rest and restoration that's beyond what you can normally get. And so what'll happen in those moments is I'll look up, I'll look around. In fact, this happened last weekend. I'll be looking for Anne. I can't find her. And then if you look out the back window, there she is. She's in the chair. Because the chair serves a purpose. It's even a symbol of a deep restoration and need in her life, right? And I think that's a good tie-in to talk a little bit about Mother's Day and talk about moms, but even beyond moms. Just to this idea of the need for rest, the experience of weariness, not just at the physical level, but at the very soul level, right? And so if I could offer you a gift today, it would be that. It would be to speak to you about the weariness you might feel or experience even at the soul level, and especially for moms, because if there's one thing I've observed and I know about being a mom for sure, is that with all of its joys, with all of its privileges, with all of its opportunities, motherhood comes with some deep burdens and weariness, not just physical, right? Deeper at the very soul level. And so I get to be around moms, obviously in my own family, my daughter-in-law now, who's an awesome mom, and the moms in my office, and just the people that I get to run into contact with every day, I get to see some of that burden. And a lot of it can just come from coping with the incredible busyness of our culture and the busyness of our kids and the many, many activities that they're drawn into or that they, as they get older, that they want to pursue, the things that they want to do. And it can wear you out just dealing with that busyness and that relentless list of activities and all of the organizing, all of the tracking, all of the paying, and certainly all of the transportation that's required to keep up with what our kids are doing. And to watch moms work through with their kids the various stages of life, it brings with each stage brings with it its own kind of burden, its own propensity for weariness, right? As they go to school, as they get adjusted to school, as they experience both the teachers that are easy for them to be with and the teachers that challenge them and draw them to something harder and higher, right? The building of relationships, having friends, as they get older, they begin to date and have other kinds of relationships. All of this bears with it this sort of burden that moms especially seem to bear so deeply. And it's compounded in our culture, I think, by this constant voice that says, you are not enough, right? This constant pressure that says, you can't just have a birthday party for your kid. It has to be epic, and it has to go viral, right? And the many, many smaller and subtler ways that our culture is constantly telling us, you got to be more. You got to have more. You got to provide more. Look at the pictures. Look at the posts. Look around you. You don't measure up. And that message fuels a voice of condemnation in so many people's lives at so many times. And so that drives into this soul-level weariness that we have. I know a growing number of foster parents and grandparents, and they have burdens too. And all of the same kinds of burdens, they sometimes get unique burdens with kids coming suddenly or departing suddenly from their home. It leads to weariness, right? Kids that are sick, either short-term or long-term, hospital stays and surgeries, it all just adds up to weariness. And what about the spiritual burdens? And carry those burdens when your kids are straying, maybe, or when you feel like they're about to stray. It's heavy, and it wears you out. And here's how you know you're experiencing a soul-level weariness. Right, the difference between a soul-level weariness and just physical weariness is that a good nap doesn't solve it, right? Not when it's at the soul level. And so the good news today is that Jesus actually offers to you rest for your weary soul. Not just for moms, of course. Dads, men, women, students, all of us face in our culture that constant voice of you're not enough, you've got to do more, trying to figure out what classes you should take, what course of study you should pursue, what are you going to be with your life, who are you, right? How do you have a relationship? How do you maintain the balance between life, home life, and work? All of those things. It affects all of us in various ways. The good news is that Jesus is going to personally offer to you today rest at the soul level. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, words of Jesus, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you see that? Jesus says, come to me. I know you're weary. I can give you rest. Not just physical rest. Rest that hits you at the very deepest level of your soul. That's what the last sentence says. You will find rest for your souls. It's not just a good night's sleep that he's offering. It's something deeper. Come to me. Come to me. As one of our English translations says, are you tired? You worn out. Another one says, are you weary and heavy laden? Still another, are you weary? Do you carry heavy burdens? Do you need rest for your souls? And Jesus says, yeah, I can provide that. And I want you to hear that clearly today, that Jesus is offering himself himself as the solution to your soul level weariness. That's important, okay? Because I don't want you to think today that I'm advocating more religion in your life. I don't want you to hear in the call of Jesus when he says, come to me. I don't want you to hear a call to come to more religious activity. Come to more organizational process. That's not what he's saying. It's a personal invitation. Come to me. And I will provide you with rest. So it's not more religion. Because in fact, actually, religion can be part of the problem with our soul level weariness. At least what I mean is religion, the way that we generally practice it, or the default way us humans go about this thing called religion, which is essentially this: try really hard, do a bunch of stuff, and hopefully God will accept you, right? The more I do, the more I give, the more I sign up for, the more I attend, the more I'm doing all these things, I'm hoping that as I do, eventually, one day, God is going to say, I accept you. That's sort of the default way us humans have of going about religion, and really, whatever your background is, whatever your faith tradition is, so often it falls down to that. And that contributes to the weariness of our souls. It doesn't help. And we begin to see this, that that's what Jesus means. When we see, this is the Message translation of verse 28. It really says it. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Meaning, has this constant attempt to fulfill a list of rules, to do enough things, to be certain ways, has that worn you out? And so often the answer to us is yeah. Because it's sad that our religious culture, sometimes it mirrors the culture of our world that just says, hey, you got to do more, you got to have more, you got to be more, you're not enough. We end up communicating that in religious circles too, when we say, oh, God wants more from you, God wants more from you, God wants more from me. I better give more, I better do more, I better sign up for more. And people like me end up putting burdens on you, hoping that God will accept us. And so when we pursue Christianity or religion that way, it just is going to leave us weary. It's like being on a treadmill, right? This just this endless activity that doesn't ever get you anywhere. All it does is wear you out. And Jesus is saying, come to me. I've got a different idea. I've got something else altogether to offer to you. Come to me. Think differently about it. And it's really contained in those words. We go back to see both of those verses together again where he says, come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Right? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. It's learning to see that it is actually in the person of Jesus that we can find the kind of rest that our souls want. Because Jesus says, how would you like it if I took away that weariness? How would you like it if instead of relating to a religious list of requirements, you related to me personally, and you will find in me, he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And part of what that means is I don't come with expectations. That there isn't a list of rules that you have to meet. The basis of our relationship isn't how good you can be, how high you can jump, and how far you can run. The basis of our relationship is personal. And I love you. And I accept you. And if you'll let me, you won't feel that weariness again. You'll get some real rest. And it's rest now. I mean, there's part of this that is talking about what we sometimes refer to as the heavenly rest, right? The eternal rest that comes the day that you die. But I want you to understand that Jesus is offering you something now, in this life. One of the first pastors I ever worked for, that was his motto. Hey, you can rest when you die, right? And sometimes that's how we live. And Jesus is saying, no, you can rest now. Your soul can rest now. But it comes from Jesus. And so the first step in this path is to see your relationship with Jesus as something personal, right? Something personal. And then Jesus gives us a couple of ideas of how to go about that. That's really what is meant in this by this phrase, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? Jesus says, listen, here's how you access this relationship with me. This is how you come to find this rest. It's a little complicated because Jesus isn't here physically, right? So how do we come to Jesus? How do we get and receive that rest relationship with him? And it's carried in that phrase when he says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. Let's start with the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this is a farming illustration. Common in Jesus' day, much less common for us. It's not too often you see two ox running down the road. Am I right? Because that's what this is about. The yoke is the heavy wooden collar that you'd put on the neck of two oxen side by side. That's what it was. It was a big, heavy, wooden thing, right? And its purpose was to link these two oxen together and to allow them to harness their strength so that they can pull, they can do more than they can do by themselves. It was a way to harness them together and get them to do the work. And in and of itself, the yoke is heavy. So Jesus is saying something that if we're not careful, we will just turn into another heavy burden. What I mean is this. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Not the yoke of religion. Not the burden of trying to fulfill a bunch of rules and make a bunch of sacrifices and please a bunch of people. Get rid of that yoke. It's a burden that's not getting you anywhere. And instead, take my yoke. My yoke. And Jesus' yoke is essentially love God and love others, right? The yoke Jesus wants you to take on is saying, love your enemies. Forgive those who hurt you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serve God, not money. All of those kinds of things that Jesus says. They encapsulate his yoke, that is his way of knowing and relating to God. Okay? So he's telling you, trade one yoke for the other. Okay? Now, he goes on to say in the next verse, he says, now, the thing about my yoke is that it is easy and it is light, which is a counterculture thing or a counterintuitive thing to say about a yoke, because a yoke by itself is a burden and it is heavy. And if we're not careful, we'll try to take on the yoke of Jesus and it'll just feel heavy. It'll feel just like the yoke of religion. Here's what I mean, right? Jesus says, love your neighbor, right? And you say, but I don't want to love my neighbor. It's hard to love my neighbor. That guy borrowed my lawnmower and he broke it, right? His dog barks all night. He's an angry person. And so when you walk out of your house and you see your neighbor on the driveway, you duck into your car, right? It's not easy. You can't just wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to forgive all those people who've hurt me. I'm just going to do it. That's hard. It's a burden. But Jesus says, no, listen, there's a way in which you can experience this life and it won't feel like a heavy burden. And the key to that is in the second part of that phrase, back in verse 28, where he says, learn from me. Take my yoke, my way of knowing and relating to God. Let that be what runs your life. It's going to feel heavy unless you learn from me. Now, we're Westerners, so when we hear Jesus, when we read him say, learn from me, we think school, right? We think get a book, read a text, go online, do some study, learn. That's part of it. Jesus, however, was a first century Jewish person. And in his culture, learning had a much more experiential component to it. And that's evidenced by what the yoke did. The yoke wasn't just a burden carrier. The yoke was a teaching device. Because what you would do is you would link the old ox and the young ox together. The experienced ox and the inexperienced ox. And by being linked together, the young ox, the inexperienced ox, would learn the way to do the work. And when the young ox wanted to turn left and go that way, the older ox would say, well, we're not going that way. That's not how we do it. And there's part of that that Jesus is saying to us, learn from me. That is, get connected to me, be yoked to me, learn from me. Not just what I say, but what I do. Right? We're used to reading Jesus' teachings. He did this. He taught the people that followed him all the time. But he did much more than that. He lived with his followers day after day for 3 years. And that was his message. Learn from me. Watch me. Follow me. Put into your life the practices that you observe and see in my life. Because it is those activities, it is those practices that will prepare you and strengthen you and allow you to carry this yoke with ease. It won't be hard to love your neighbor. It'll be hard not to love your neighbor. But you have to come and learn from me. And so there are activities, there are practices in the life of Jesus that are meant for us to emulate and prepare us to carry that burden, right? It's similar to the way that we think of athletes. If you've got a kid that's an athlete and they step up to the plate tomorrow and they hit a home run, they didn't just do that. They didn't just decide, today I'm going to step up to the plate and hit a home run, right? The ability to hit a home run is the culmination of a process. Lots of daily activities. Lots of things in your regular life that you plan for and you prepare so that you can, in the moment, perform. Do how you want. Do it the way you want. It's the same if you're a first responder, right? You don't just wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to run into a burning building and save people. No, you learn how to do that. You train for that. You practice for that. You do things that prepare you for that moment. If you're a musician, it's the same, right? You don't just decide to get up and play a concert. It's a lifestyle of learning. Okay, so I like to watch documentaries on Netflix, and there's a really good one that I think you should all watch. It's called Fullstirker, and that's an Icelandic word. Yeah, and it's this documentary about these dudes in Iceland. Apparently, it's a big part of Icelandic culture to pick up and carry heavy stones, like really heavy stones. Like if you were a fisherman centuries ago, this is how they would determine your share of the fishing bounty for that season. If you could pick up the small rock, you got a half share. If you could pick up the big rock, you got a full share, right? And so now it's part of culture. People like to go and recreate these events and do these things. So all over Iceland, there are these places where there are these really heavy stones. And they all mean something. They're all connected to some part of history or culture. And the thing to do is to go around and try to lift and carry these stones, right? So it'd be like going to Philadelphia and saying, hey, the Liberty Bell, it's really cool. Let's pick it up and carry it over here just to show how cool we think it is, right? That's kind of what they do. So I'm watching this documentary about these guys, and they all have cool names like Thor and Magnus von Magnuson and stuff like that. They're these big dudes, and they go to these different special kind of sacred places where these stones, and they pick them up, and they move them, and it's really a big, cool thing. And I'm watching this going, that's awesome. I want to do that. So I'm, how much does it cost to fly to Iceland? I'm going to do that. Well, that's stupid, right? What would happen if I went to Iceland and tried to pick up one of these gigantic stones? Yeah, nothing. Well, probably worse than nothing would happen. You can't just decide to carry this thing. There's a lifestyle. There are activities. There are practices. The way that you eat, the way that you sleep, the way that you train, that make that burden light. And that's what Jesus is saying. Come on, learn from me. There are these habits. There are these practices. There are these things in your life that will make it, that will cause my life in you to grow, that will cause your soul to expand, that will cause your spiritual strength to rise. And so then when you see your neighbor, it will not be a burden to love them. It'll be the most natural thing in the world. That's what he's saying. So, we think of the practices of Jesus as being things like prayer and service and generosity. There's many of them. Silence, solitude, generosity. There are many, many different things as you read and watch and observe the life of Jesus, the way that he practiced his life. It's easy to find books. It's easy to go on the web. It's easy to talk to your Christian friends and say, well, you know, what are some of the practices that Jesus practiced that we can practice today? But some of them are fairly apparent, like prayer, for instance. And what Jesus is advocating and saying, look, watch my life. Watch how I give the best moments of my day to prayer. Or watch how when I'm faced with a significant decision, I like to pray. Watch how out of my prayer life comes my understanding of how to live, right? Follow me. Learn from me. Yoke yourself to me. Do the things that I do. And that's when your soul will rest. And you'll stop feeling this anguish of how do I connect to God? How do I know where I stand with God? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I fulfill the things that God puts in my heart that I know I want to do? Your soul will rest when you link yourself to him. So the reality, though, is it's easy to talk about that. It's much more difficult to move these into my life, right? And you're probably sitting here thinking, good heavens, I have two jobs and I have three kids and I have all these things occurring and happening in my life. How do you just decide to follow the practices of Jesus? And I think that's a good question. I have no idea. We'll talk about that next time. Not really. Right? The reality is you have to start where you start. You have to take into account your season of life. You have to make use of the opportunities that you have. Like, for instance, this week I was talking to somebody who they had learned to use their commute as part of their spiritual time with God, right? Maybe you're driving kids around nonstop, but you could take those 5 minutes when you're between stops where you don't have anybody in the car, and you could say, this is a time for me to be silent. To practice silence. Silence is essentially just closing out noise from the outside and sitting before God and saying, here I am. Here I am. You'll be amazed what happens when you make that a regular part of your life. You'll hear from God the things that you need to hear. Right? You may feel like my house is full of noisy children, okay? How am I ever going to find a moment's peace and quiet? And the answer might be in something like the chair, a spot where nobody can find you. And listen, I'm here to tell you that 5 minutes of prayer in your life, first of all, it's way better than 0 minutes. And what you'll find is that 5 minutes locked in the bathroom praying, it will create an appetite in your life for 10 minutes. And one day it'll create an appetite in your life for 30 minutes. And what you'll find in that time when you pray is you'll find God express himself to you. And you'll find answers to your questions. You'll find relief for your burdens. You'll find joy in your heart. You'll find all of the things that add up to rest in your soul. So today what I want to encourage you to do is to think about a spiritual practice. Maybe it's one of the ones that's easily accessible, like prayer that you know about already, or silence, or worship. Not worship the way we often practice it when we come in with a bunch of people and our phone going and we're just kind of looking back, watching what's happening on stage, but 5 minutes, even in this time, where you block everything else out, like when Jared leads us in a moment of silence or in a moment of scripture reading, and you just say, God, I'm here, this is for you. You'll be surprised at the way that that expands your spiritual appetite and it gives your soul room to grow. Okay? So just pick a practice. Go online when you get home to pick up a book, take a look at the list and say, I think that I could practice solitude, that there's a room in my house I could go and I could be there for 30 minutes this week. And just make it part of your life. And do it with the intention of saying, Jesus, you said if I come to you, that if I learn from you, you'll give me rest. And my heart, my soul craves the rest that only you can give. And let God expand your spiritual capacity. Okay? Jesus said, listen, I know you're burdened. I know it's heavy. I know the things that you carry, they're real. Each of you, in a variety of ways. I know that it wears you out, not just physically, but sometimes even in your soul. I'm offering you something different. I'm offering you an opportunity to get off the treadmill of effort and trying and performing and fulfilling other people's expectations. Get off the treadmill. Come to me. Yoke yourself to me and learn from me. Watch what I do. Read the stories of my life. See how I lived. And take one of those things and start to squeeze it into your life and watch what happens. If I could give you a gift today, it would be the gift of rest. Rest in your soul. And the only way to find that is to come to Jesus. Let's pray this morning, and the worship team's going to come, and let's use the moments that we have together, the song, as an expression of our desire, if it is your heart's desire, to come to Jesus, to learn from him. Maybe even ask him, what's the practice I could put in my life? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you want more for us than we even want for ourselves. God, that you'd want us to find rest, that you'd want our souls not to be weary. God, that encourages my heart. Lord, we all acknowledge the difficulty of moving the practices of your life into our life. So help us, guide us, inspire us. Give us friends to walk the journey with us. Show us your way. But we're going to start just with our intention to say, Jesus, we know it comes from you. It doesn't come from social media. It doesn't come from rules. It doesn't come from what other people would give us. It comes from you. And so we come.